Last year we were discussing various aspects of the Kedusha of the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, and pointed out the fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Torah, beginning with Parsha Shtruma, teaches us much detail regarding the Mishkan, and the Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk of the Chen Tassu, that this applies with Doros and Beis HaMikdash as well. But certainly, if one were to count all of the different commandments regarding the Mishkan, it would far exceed the tap of Tayag Mitzvos. And therefore, both the Rambam and the Ramban agree that you have to somehow consolidate. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Chav that there is one mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash Veshachanti Basofan, and that mitzvah is to create a Beis HaMikdash to include all of its kelim as well. We don't count the creation of the Aron or the Mizbeach or the Kiyor or the Shulchan independently, but all of them are subsumed under the broadest heading of the obligation of constructing a Mishkan. And the Ramban later in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, disagrees, maintaining that even if you look in the Rambam himself, you will find a certain inconsistency. Because the Rambam writes, the only time you consolidate and count a single mitzvah is when you have components of a mitzvah that are me'akvin zezeh. When it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of lulav esrog, even though there are four different components, but no doubt it is considered to be one mitzvah. Why is that true? Because the Rambam writes explicitly, because each element is indispensable. You don't have a lulav, there's no mitzvah to take the esrog, and therefore that is an indicator that it is a single mitzvah. When it comes, for example, to tefillin, the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Yedbeis, and Mitzvah Yedgimel, two different mitzvahs, Tefillah Shoyab, followed by Tefillah Shorosh. Why two different mitzvahs? Because certainly they are ein ma'atzin zezeh. It's interesting that the Rambam Shittas only recite a single bracha on the mitzvah of tefillin, despite the fact that the Rambam writes that the tefillah shayad and tefillah shorosh are two independent mitzvahs, because when you have linked mitzvahs, one bracha is sufficient as a birchas ha-mitzvah. And even the Minhag Ashkenaz, the sheet of Tosos and brachos and Daf Samach, that you recite two different brachos on tefillin, it's not because shayad and shorosh. Tosos is explicit. Even if all you put on is the tefillah shorosh, you still recite two brachos. It's because of two elements contained in the mitzvah of tefillin itself. But the Rambam writes tefillin is a model where two independent mitzvahs, because each one is ein ma'akvin ze'ezek, can be performed without the other. The Ramban asks, isn't that also true of all the requisite kelim of the Mishkan in Beis HaMikdash? If you don't have a menorah, we wouldn't say that therefore you can't have a Beis HaMikdash. You can still perform all of the other mitzvahs. You won't have the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros, but yet you can still have Hakrabas HaKarbanos. You will still have Lechem HaPanim, and therefore the relationship of each one of the kelim is independent, ein makvin zezeh, and therefore the Rabban is troubled. Why is it that the Rambam counts as a single mitzvah? Even the Ramban, as mentioned, has to agree that therefore you cannot count any one of the kelim independently. You'll far exceed tayag mitzvos. The Ramban also agrees that you have to combine, you have to consolidate in some sense, and the Ramban writes a very different reason. I admit, the Ramban explains that you don't count creating the shulchan, creating the mizbeah, creating the menorah as an independent mitzvah, not because it's all subsumed under Vosli Mikdash Veshachanti Basochem. But if someone were to ask you, the Ramban writes, why is it that you need a menorah? The answer is for the purpose of Hadlakas HaNeros. Why do you need a shulchan? In order to have the avoda of Lechem HaPanim. In other words, creating the necessary kli is simply a hechsher mitzvah. It is a vital component, but it's only a preparatory stage. And therefore, the Ramban writes, I will not count a hechsher mitzvah as being an independent mitzvah. And the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel compares it to Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah for the Kohen to don Big Day Kohuna, Levishas Big Day Kohuna. The Ramban writes, there's no such mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of avoda, and bizman shebigdein aleihen kuhnasin aleihen, without the necessary big day kuhna, the kohen can't perform the avoda. So as a hechsher avoda, it is necessary to wear big day kuhna, but whereas the Rambam writes that is a mitzvah, the Ramban writes it is only considered to be a Hester mitzvah. So if I were to ask again that why is it that you don't count each of the kelim independently, two very different answers. The Rambam, it's all included under Vosle Mikdash Veshachanti Besocham. According to the Rambam, that's not true. The Rambam writes, you don't count the creation of the kli because that is a hechsher avoda of that particular avoda at stake. We had mentioned the last shiur that this fits in beautifully with conceptually what is the significance, what is the importance of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam defines the Makom HaMikdash as a Beis Avoda. That is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the term that we find in Sefer HaMitzvos in Mitzvachot, a Beis Avoda. The Ramban writes very differently. The Ramban writes in the very beginning of Parshas Truma that at the time of Mamad HaSinai we were able to experience intense Hashras HaShchina, and the Torah gave us a tool, a vehicle, to be able to capture, to preserve the Hashras HaShchina of Mamad HaSinai Ledoros. And that tool, that vehicle is Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. According to the Ramban, the essence, the purpose of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaShchina, not Beis Avoda. And that parallels this machlokes. If I were to ask you that the kelim, how essential are they to the Beis HaMikdash? Well, if the essence of Beis HaMikdash is the very term the Rambam has, a Beis Avoda, the clay Avoda are not an independent mitzvah, but they are the tools with which one can express the very purpose of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it makes perfect sense to assume that the Mishkan and its kelim are all part of the same mitzvah of Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. According to the view of the Ramban, if the purpose of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaShchina, what about the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim? I would argue that that is independent of, and therefore the need for the Shulchan is independent of Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. And therefore the Ramban maintains, you're right, the Shulchan is not part of that mitzvah, but rather the Shulchan is not counted because it's part of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. So therefore perhaps that detail in Sefer HaMitzvos beautifully reflects the understanding of what is the purpose of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash itself. There is in fact a further machlokes b'Rambam and Ramban. When you look in the very end of Sefer HaMitzvos, you find that the mitzvah sheshachach harav, what the Ramban terms, the mitzvahs that the Ramban forgot to count. Part of Tariag mitzvahs according to the Ramban that were not included according to the Rambam. And the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that b'chol asher that whatever in fact you're obligated to do regarding the Mishkan itself, one is obligated to observe. What is that a reference to? The Ramban writes that one cannot go ahead and deviate. Shelo l'shanos seder hanochas kelim. The way in which all of the kelim are placed in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, that is a mitzvah according to the view of the Ramban. And the Ramban questions that why is it that the Ramban does not count this in Seder HaMitzvos, the Seder of Hanochas Kelim. One could suggest that that also is beautifully the Shitasi. According to the Rambam, the Seder Hanochas Kelim, of course that's not an independent mitzvah. The mitzvah is Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. And included in that mitzvah is the need for all of the kelim. So if I were to ask you, and what is the proper order, what is the proper sequence of all the clay, HaMishkan and Mikdash, you would argue that's not a separate mitzvah, that's part of the blueprint of, right? The architect will give you a plan of blueprints and will tell you first this, then this, then this. That is not an independent imperative, but that is all part of Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. But don't forget, according to the Ramban, that's not true. Kelim are not included in the mitzvah Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. And therefore, if the Torah tells us, you know, there's a certain formula, a certain prescription, a certain sequence in order to all of the kelim, that according to Ramban is a separate mitzvah itself. So that dispute as well between the Rambam and the Ramban fits in with the machlokes that they have regarding the very essence, the very nature of the mikdash itself. Perhaps one could argue somewhat in the opposite extreme. Maybe this is not only a kasha against the Rambam, why doesn't the Rambam quote the sequence of kelim and Sefer HaMitzvos? But perhaps one could suggest that this is a raya, this is an indicator to the Rambam Shita. Because after all, what are kelim? according to the Rambam, Asiyas Sakinim is a mitzvah, not an independent mitzvah. It's part of Vasli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Selchem. According to the Rambam, it is only a Hechsher mitzvah. And all of a sudden, the Torah tells us that there's a Seder Hanukkah. There's a sequence to the Kelim. One could argue, according to the Rambam, perhaps as follows. You know, if there's a sequence, doesn't that indicate that it has the status of a mitzvah? Whenever there's a mitzvah, isn't there a Seder HaMitzvah? There's a mitzvah, for example, of Chalitza. So Chalitza is made up of various components. I'll ask you, what comes first? The Chalitza, the Rekika, the Kriyas HaParsha. There's a Seder to each and every mitzvah. But you know, if something is only a Hechsher mitzvah, perhaps one could question, is there really a Seder within a Hechsher mitzvah? Doesn't Hechsher mitzvah mean as long as it's done in order to accommodate the next step, that is considered to be sufficient? So maybe one could argue, according to the Rambam, the exact opposite. The fact, as the Ramban admits, that there is a sequence, an order to the Kelim, maybe that indicates my position, and that is that there is a mitzvah of Asiyas HaKelim. Not an independent mitzvah, but subsumed under the heading of Vasli Mikdash. Yishachanti V'Selchem. I'll give you another example. We just mentioned Big Day Kohuna. Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah of Levishas Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam counts and say for mitzvah, it's a mitzvah Lamed Gimel. If you look in Perek Yud of the Rambam, Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam writes, Ketzad Seder Levishas HaBegadim. What is the order in which the Kohen is supposed to wear the Big Day Kohuna? And the Rambam writes that first he puts on the Mechnasayim, followed by the Ksones, followed by the Avne, followed by the Mitznefes. That is the proper order of the Levishas Big Day Kohuna. That's what the Rambam writes. I would suggest as follows, that of course the Rambam writes Ketzad Seder Levishas Begadim, because after all, the Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah of Levisha. And since the Rambam counts as a separate mitzvah, a Kohen has to wear the Big Day Kohuna, isn't it a natural question to ask, okay, what is the proper order of a mitzvah? Which is first, which is second? There's a mitzvah of the Tzivah Shoyah, the Tzivah Shorosh. Which is first, which is second? If you were to argue, as the Ramban, that there is no such mitzvah. Just the Kohen has to make sure that he's ready to do Avoda, and necessarily you can't do Avoda without Big Day Kohuna. Maybe one could argue that there really is no Seder Levisha. As long as at the time of the Avoda the Kohen is properly equipped to do the Avoda, that is really sufficient. But the Rambam, who maintains that there is a mitzvah Levisha, very reasonable that the Rambam writes Ketzad Seder Levisha Spigodim, that there is a sequence, there is an order to that particular mitzvah. The reason I stress this is because if you look at Minchas Tinoch in Mitzvah Tzavites, the Minchas Tinoch is very troubled by that Rambam. Where do you see that there's a Seder Levisha? And the Minchas Tinoch writes, surprisingly, that maybe the Rambam is loved Afka. Maybe when the Rambam writes Ketzad Seder Levisha Spegadim, does not really mean that it has to follow that particular order. The only thing the Gemara does mention is the Mechnasayim have to come first. But beyond that, the Minchas Tinoch writes, maybe there is no absolute sequence which is necessary for the Big Day Kohuna. It's a difficult position. No? After all, the Rambam writes, almost black and white, Ketzad Seder Levishas Begadim. What is the necessary order? Point number two I would suggest as follows. If you look in the very end of Hilchos Kalayim, in Perek Yud, and Halacha Lamed Gimel, the Rambam writes the following. That you know, a Kohen must wear Big Day Kohuna. But you know, Big Day Kohuna contain Shatnez. The Avnet contains Shatnez. So the Rambam writes, why is it? Obviously it's the truth that the Kohen is allowed to. He must wear the Big Day Kohuna. And if it contains Shatnez, so be it. But what exactly is the license for the Kohen to wear this Big Day Kohuna? So the Rambam writes the following Kiddush. You know, it has Shatnez. You're allowed to wear Shatnez as necessary for the purpose of Avoda. But the Rambam writes the Kohen is not allowed to wear Big Day Kohuna Shalo Bishas Avoda. Let's assume, for example, the Kohen is not doing Avoda and he happens to don the Big Day Kohuna. The Rambam writes that Loke Mipnei HaAvnet Sheba, he'll get Malkus Daraisa, because he's violating this sort of Shatnez, which is Shalo Bitzarech HaAvoda. That is the position of the Rambam. And the Raita disagrees, and the Rav writes that's not true by definition. Big Day Kohuna is excluded from the Isra of Shatnez even shelo b'shas avoda. So the Ravid writes that even if the Kohen wears big day kuna aside from the time of avoda, there is no malchus. But the Rambam's view is that no, you can only go ahead and wear the big day kuna as necessary. So I ask you a very simple question, that according to the Rambam, you can only wear the big day kuna, the avnet. The avnet is the problematic beggar, so to speak. The avnet contains shatnez. So only wear that as needed. So you know what? There are four different big day kohen hediyot. If I were to ask you as follows, when the kohen goes ahead and puts on the big day kuna, which beggar do you think he should put on last? I would argue that, what do you mean? He can put on the nechnasayim, he can put on the ksonas, put on the avnet has the shatnez. And you're not allowed to wear shatnez shelo b'shas avoda. So I would argue that, look, that you know, when you're wearing the big day kuna, put the avnet on as close as possible to doing the avoda. And the Rambam does not write that. The Rambam writes, what is the seder levisha? The Rambam writes nechnasayim, ksonas, avnet, and then mitznefes. Avnet does not last. How can that be? I would suggest as follows. It must be that there is a mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kuna, and there is a Seder to Levisha's Big Day Kuna. If that is the order that is necessary, then the question is no question. Just as the Kohen is obviously allowed to wear the Shatnez and Big Day Kuna, he must put it on the sequence because that is the mitzvah of Levisha. If you're going to argue with Minchas Chinuch that really there is no Seder Levisha, shouldn't it be that the Avnet is last? The fact that the Rambam writes that is not true, doesn't that indicate that in fact there is a mitzvah levisha? And that is the chiddush of the Rambam. There is a mitzvah levisha and there is a seder levisha. There is a mitzvah of asiyas hakelim, and therefore there is a seder of the hanochas kelim, because mitzvahs have a necessary sequence, an order, a seder, and therefore this is true in those cases as well. But this is the view of the Rambam that teaches us that no doubt that there is a mitzvah of Oslim Mikdash Veshachanti B'Sochem. Does not merely mean to build the framework of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, but also to house it with all of its necessary kelim. The Ramban who writes that no, kelim is not really part of that mitzvah. The need for a particular kli is only a hechsher avoda, as we alluded to in the last shiur. The Ramban then is troubled regarding the Aron. After all of the other kelim, its purpose is understood in terms of a particular avoda. Why mizbeach? Kakravas hakarbanos. Why menorah? Hadlakas haneros. Why aron? The aron is not defined in terms of a particular avoda, and therefore the Ramban writes the following chiddush: va'asu aron. That's a separate mitzvah. That is a separate mitzvah. So machlokas and sefer mitzvahs, the Rambam and the Ramban, v'osu aron, is that a separate mitzvah or is it not? According to the Rambam, there is no such independent mitzvah. Could very well be, according to the Rambam's view, it's counted under that broadest v'oslim mikdash v'shachanti v'salcham. A mishkan, a mikdash, requires an aron. But according to the view of the Ramban, that all the kelim are a hechsher avoda, so in such a case, aron is considered to be an independent mitzvah. So that's one fascinating distinction, mikdash, that the Ramban writes. All the other kelim, there's no mitzvah to create the kli. Aron is considered to be a mitzvah. And then the Ramban in Parshas Truma points out another distinction. We've mentioned in many different contexts throughout the years that there is a marked difference between a mitzvah that is rendered in the singular as opposed to that which is in the plural. If a mitzvah is given to the plural, to the rabbin, to the masses, that the Gemara often tells us is a mitzvah which is l'chol echad ve'echad. The Gemara writes in Menachos Samachay, u'svartem lachem, everyone is obligated to count the Omer, shetei sfir l'chol echad ve'echad. The Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, u'lakachtem lachem, l'kicha biyad, kol echad be'echad. Everyone is obligated to take the Dalet Minim. Tosfos writes explicitly, the drasha is midechsiv ulakachtem veloksiv ulakachta. If it's ulakachta, it means like Klal Yisrael as a whole. It's interesting, you need a pasuk for that. In other words, you would have thought lulav and esrog is a collective chiyuv. Maybe you would have thought that lulav and esrog is part of avodas hamikdash. We do know that Hoshanos and Lulav do have a special role in the Mikdash. Maybe one would have thought that it's limited to Seder Avoda. So the Torah has to go out of its way, Lekach Tem, B'lashon Rabim, to tell us, Lekicha L'Kolecha V'Yechad, everyone is obligated to take the Dalet Minin. And then you have mitzvos that are rendered in the singular, which are understood collectively. When it comes to counting the years of the Ovel, the Safarta Licha, that's not an individual field, but each one of us is obligated to count the given year of the Ovel cycle. Certainly not. Tosfos explains in Menachos and Daf Samechei and Ksuvos Daf Ayin Beis that it's a chiyuv and comment upon Bnei Yisrael as a whole. What does that mean? Tosfos writes, the Sanhedrin convenes each and every year, and they count the year of the Ovel with a bracha. That's what Tosfos writes. The Ramban is not sure about that. The Ramban writes, sometimes in Chumash the term sphira means to count, literally to count, 1, 2, 3, and sometimes sphira can be understood as to calculate. You have to make a calculation, a cheshbon. For example, if it's necessary for a zava to be toveles after shivinikim, so what does the safrala mean? She counts 7 clean days. So the Ramban writes, the safrala means she calculates 7 clean days. She knows that these are the days of Tuma, and this is the day of Tara. Does it mean, the Ramban writes, that she has to state, today is day 1, today is day 2, today is... No, it doesn't mean that, the Ramban writes. It just simply means to calculate. So the Ramban writes, sometimes sphira means actual counting, sometimes it simply means to calculate. Sira Sa'omer means to count the days of the Omer, and counting Shivanikim means to calculate, and the Ramban and Parsha Zemo raises a suffix, what about counting the years of the Ovel? The Safar Tovacha. Does it really mean that Bezdin counts each and every year? Or does it mean that no, Bezdin calculates the arrival of Yovel, and then Vikidashta Meshnas Achamishim Shana, they'll consecrate the Yovel year, but not that they have to count each year individually. Tosfos assumes it's obvious that the Sanhedrin has to count the years of the Yovel, and the Ramban says he's very uncertain as to whether that is true in any case. But one thing is clear, even if you hold the mitzvah's counting, as Tosfos says, who counts? Not each individual. We as a tzibur count, and that means the representative of Knesset Yisrael, namely the Sanhedrin will go ahead and count. So the Ramban in Parshas Truma points out this fascinating observation as well. When it comes to all of the Kalim, the Ramban said, that's not a mitzvah. Why is it necessary to have a shulchan? Because avodah, lechem hapanim. Why is it necessary to have a menorah for hadlakas and eros? So the Torah tells us you have to construct the shulchan, you have to build the menorah. Who is the Torah speaking to? Not to each individual, but rather collectively. And that's why the pasuk uses va'asisa, b'lashon yachid. It means that tzibur as well has to see to it that you have a menorah to do the avodah, you have a mizbeach to do avodah. But aron is not needed for a particular avodah. That is an independent mitzvah. And the Ramban writes a further chiddush, that is why the Torah says va'asu aron. Va'asu, the Ramban writes, is called echad v'echad. Everyone is obligated to participate in the Aron. Yavu kulam v'yasku ba'aron. That's what the Ramban writes. Everyone had to participate in asiyas ha'aron. And how was that done? How did everyone participate in asiyas ha'aron? The Ramban and Parshas Shema writes three possibilities. One is shiyazer lebitzalo eze ma'at. There were some people that literally crafted the Aron with bitzalo. That's one possibility. Hands-on, forming the Aron. And the second is shiyisnadhu. There are certain people that contributed the gold necessary for the Aron, and then the Ramban writes category 3, Sheyechavnu v'davar. There were certain people that their mindset, Baruch Hashem and Pesach, we're building our shul now, so there are three categories of Balavatim, right? That's the Ramban. Now that Sheyechavnu v'davar. They also link in. People think that's the easiest, but that's probably the hardest. That Kavona Salev, which is so earnest that that's considered to be asiya, and that's the chiddush that the Ramban writes of asu aron. From it, everyone has to participate in asiya aron. That aron is not avoda. Aron in mikdash represents the primacy of the Torah Hashem, the need to house and to contain shmira beluchos. That's something that everyone has to link into, and that's why the Ramban writes asu aron is a separate mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah which is incumbent upon each individual. In fact, perhaps one could suggest the following chiddush, that maybe there are two different halachos, two different elements, two different aspects to the Aron. If someone were to ask you, what is so special about the Aron, what is its role? Well, number one, you would say, look, you know, Aron is vital to the Mikdash. Maybe you can't even have a Mikdash without an Aron. Right? That's what the Rambam strongly implies, that the Aron's presence is critical. It's critical because the Aron is the whole source, the whole foundation, the thrust of the Kedusha of Hashras Hashina. And therefore, part of Aron is Klei HaMikdash. If I were to ask you to list all the kelim of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash, certainly Aron is paramount. But there's another role of Aron as well that has nothing at all to do with Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. You know, in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, came down from Hasina, the Torah describes, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create an Aron. You have to create. Why? As if yet there was no obligation of Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Solcham, but very simply, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from HaSinai with the Luchos. Well, don't you need some kli to house, to preserve the Luchos? And therefore, Aron apparently has two different elements to it. Aron is meaningful irrespective of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. So at once, it was necessary when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from HaSinai, and in addition, the Aron emerged as the prime kli, right, of the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. But two halachos that you find of Aron. Rav Shlomo once suggested that maybe one could argue that, you know, the Aron is made up of two different elements. It's made up of Eitz, Atzei Shittim, and it's also made up of Zahav, of gold. Perhaps one could argue that those two elements of the Aron reflect the two halachos of the Aron. Maybe one could suggest as follows, that what is the role of the Zahav regarding the Aron? That is an indicator of the Kavod, the Tiferes, the splendor, the beauty, the magnificence of Mishkan. Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, other kelim also are made out of Zahav. And what was the role of the Eitzim? Eitzim represents, even aside from the beauty, the splendor, the gold of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, the role of Aron simply in terms of housing the Luchos themselves. Maybe one could suggest that the two components, the two elements of the Aron, the Eitzim and the Zahav, represents the two halachos that you find in Aron. Why would one assume that that perhaps is true? See, when you look in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, come down from HaSinai, it's necessary to have an Aron. What was the purpose of that Aron? To house the Luchos. What was that Aron made out of? The Torah tells us explicitly, that was an Aron Eitz. There was no Zahav. After all, that was the Aron, irrespective of Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, that was the role of the Aron simply in terms of housing the Luchos. That represented the Ramban Reis, the primacy of the Torah Hashem. That was their own Eitz. The Aron is incorporated into Klei HaMikdash. That required that element of Zahar. See, if that's true, if I were to ask you as follows, you know, when it comes to Kelim, sometimes Lashon Yachid, sometimes Lashon Rabin, sometimes a Cholecha V'Yachad, sometimes a Chiyuv incumbent upon the Tzibur, two halachos of Aron. Which is a chovas hayachid incumbent upon each individual, and which is a collective chiyuv which is incumbent upon the tzibur? Perhaps one could argue as follows: look, the obligation, the primacy of Torah, as the Ramban writes, no, to house the luchos, to preserve the kedushas haTorah, that is a chiyuv v'chol echad v'echad. That's a mitzvah that everyone has to participate in. That's the Medrash Ramban calls Yovu Kulam, Kadesh Yizku Kulam Torah. Everyone should participate in that. What about the element of Aron as Klei HaMikdash? Klei HaMikdash. Maybe that one could argue that aspect. That aspect is a chiyuv incumbent upon the tzibur. Not everyone is obligated to facilitate the kelim, but the tzibur as all has to see to it that all of that occurs. In other words, maybe one could argue an interesting split, and that is that the Eitzim aspect of Aron, that's something which everyone has to participate in. The element of Zahav, which indicates the role of the Aron in terms of Klei HaMikdash, that's like the menorah and the kiur and the shulchan. That is a chovas hatzibur. Isn't that what the pasuk tells us? In Parshas Truma, when the Torah tells us to construct the Aron, here the Torah tells us va'asu Aron, va'asu b'loshen Rabbim, asu is v'chol echad echad, va'asu Aron atzei shitim. Torah mentions the Aron eitz, build the Aron out of eitz, and that is b'loshen Rabbim, that is v'chol echad echad. And then the Torah continues v'tzipisa oso zahav, overlay it with gold. V'tzipisa is b'loshen yachid. The pasuk flips from va'asu to v'tzipisa. That's a critical difference from a chiyuv incumbent upon all individuals to a chovas hatzibur. And the pasuk says that exactly in the context of atzei shittim as opposed to zahav. Perhaps that's exactly the lesson. Those two halachos of the Aron. Shmiras haluchos, that's a chiyuv which is l'chol echad v'echad. That's the Ramban's drasha of yavo kulam v'yasku ba'aron. Right, the tzipisos lozav, reminiscent of the clay hamikdash, that is considered to be an element of a chovas hatzibur. But that's the uniqueness of aron. According to Ramban, an independent mitzvah. And then furthermore, as the Ramban writes, that is a chiyuv which is incumbent upon each and every individual. It's a fascinating possibility how the Aron, right, is distinguished from all other Klei HaMikdash. The Aron is not a kli with which you perform avoda, but rather it is essential for the Kedushas HaMishkan and the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash that the Aron, the Luchos, the Sefer Torah be present. This is what we discussed in terms of the overlap, right? The very essence, the very purpose of the Mishkan Hashem is in order to ensure, right, that element of Hashras Hashchina and the Chin Tasu, that is true, right, not only in terms of Mishkan, but that is considered to be a mitzvah doros. And that was part of the parallel we discussed in the last year of the Avnenezer regarding Hafrim Tachrimim, right, that is the first step toward Yishuv Haaretz, and then the mitzvah of Horashtim Es Haaretz V'yishav Timba. In terms of understanding, right, the primacy of Mikdash and the role, the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, we had mentioned that it's not only expressed in terms of mitzvah Hatlios Haaretz, but also is expressed in terms of the national identity of Knesset Yisrael, the concept that Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayis and Perek Daled of Bechoros, that Kohol Yisrael, right, in a strict sense, is a reference to, right, Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, that they are considered to be, right, the notion of the Tzibur, and the Dinei HaTzibur that flow from, that emanate from, that sense of Kedushas Ha'aretz. The importance of understanding our link to Eretz Yisrael, I think, can be understood, right, with two, right, very different mashalim. One, we discussed this once in a different context, and that was the machlokas tanaim that Rashi cites, where you find the sugya in Kedushin of Chaf Beis regarding an Eved Ivri. Right here, the Torah tells us that when a person becomes an Eved Ivri, right, that his service as an Eved is for 6 years, and when that comes to an end, he has an opportunity, of course, of going free. And what happens if this Eved goes ahead and opts in, and he decides to remain an Eved, so therefore, right, we must perform Ritzia, we have to pierce the ear, and the Torah tells us, Vavadu la'olam, he serves until Yovel, and only at that point in time, right, is he in fact free. And so Rashi quotes what is a machlokes tanaim, and that's the condition. Why is Ritzia, so to speak, the relevant onish? It must be, as Rashi writes, that the Eved heard something that he failed to internalize, and that is why his ear is pierced. So what is it that he failed to hear? Rashi quotes two possibilities, but realize these are two distinct shitas lahalacha. One possibility is the following, that how did this person become an Eved? Well, the Torah tells us, the Nimbkar Bignei Vasa, he went ahead and he stole, right, against, right, the Dindaraisa, and now he's unable to go ahead and to pay back, so therefore the Torah tells us that Ozen Shoshana Lo Signo, didn't he hear you're not allowed to steal? And v'holach zeh v'gonav, so therefore it's natural that the ear should be pierced, and that is why there is ritzia sa'ozen. And the second possibility is the following, that ozen shoshama ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, that didn't he hear that you're not supposed to be an eved to a basar v'dam, we are avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet V'holach zeh v'kana adon atzmon. Here he acquired a bus of adam as his adon, so therefore isn't it fitting that the ear should be pierced? The reason I stress that these are two different views, and this is in fact the machlokes, very critical halacha. You can become an eved in one of two ways. One is mocher es atzmon. A person opts into avdus. Another possibility is the nimkar b'gnevaso, that Bezdin sells him into slavery as a result of his theft. If it's because of ozen sheshama lo signov, then ritzia is only nimkar b'gnevaso. If it's because of ozen sheshama kli b'nei salavadim, then it would apply to a case of mocher es atzmo as well, any time that the eved decides to stay on, irrespective of whether he became an eved because he was sold in Tavlus by Bezdin, or whether he became an eved in his own volition in such a case, then there is ritzia. And interestingly, we assume the halacha only machruhu Bezdin. In other words, the real tam is ozen sheshama lo signov. And therefore, v'holach zeh, so that is why ritzia is considered to be appropriate. If it was mocher es atzmo, there is no ritzia. That's the psak halacha of the Rambam. So if you look in the chedushin of the Maharil Diskin, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Maharil Diskin of the Torah, he asks a very simple question, and that's one of timing. Timing. Right? Why is it that the ritzia is now? Why is the ritzia now? Let's assume, for example, ozen sheshama lo signov, v'holach zeh v'gona. So, ritzia? What do you mean, ozen sheshama? When did this happen? V'holach zeh v'gona. Now? No, this happened years ago. Years ago. He went ahead and he stole. So why is it that the sof sheish, all of a sudden, is ritzia at this particular point? That's the kasha that Rav Diskin raises. One could raise the similar kasha of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, even in the case of Mocher Es Atzmo. When was it Mocher Es Atzmo? It wasn't Mocher Es Atzmo today. It was Mocher Es Atzmo years ago. Okay, now he decided to extend his avdus. But shouldn't we say, at the very initial moment of Mocher Es Atzmo, that what do you mean? Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, and therefore, Ritzia should be done at that particular moment. How do you understand that sense of timing? As mentioned, Rav Diskin raises the issue lahalacha in terms of oz and sheshama lo signov, and he answers as follows. Yes, the person stole. And what was the onesh? What was the onesh for his geneva? The answer is avdus. Avdus. The avdus is an onesh for geneva. That's where the story should have ended. A person committed an avera. There was an onesh. Now, the hope is that the person used this onesh constructively, introspection, tshuva, redirection, and that's it. And now he goes free. All of a sudden, the Sevet has an opportunity to go free, and he decides to remain. Ahavti es Adoni, Hishivani Leitzei Chofshi. He decides to opt in, to opt in. What does that indicate? That's the chiddush that the Maharal Diskin writes. But that indicates that what was supposed to be an onesh was not perceived as being an onesh at all. Now, here the Sevet would be confused. What was supposedly a crushing onesh with somehow an idyllic existence. That even though now that the sentence has come to an end, he decides to opt in? Well, it's clear that the mindset was off. What was supposed to be an onesh was not seen as an onesh at all. And that's the Chiddush Maharal Diskin writes, the Rachmana Litzlan. When that happens, now Kadosh Baruch Hu has to give a second onesh, in order to rattle the Eved to show that, you know, not only that you stole, but you failed to recognize, you confused that which was an onesh with that which was perceived to be an ideal. And when you say the Leitzei Chofshi, now it becomes necessary to have an onesh of Ritzia for the earlier Avera. And it's an important mindset, just simply in terms of understanding how it is that we react and we respond to that which undeniably is considered to be an onesh. I often mention this in the context of Eretz Yisrael, because you know that we always recite, "Now with nechatainu galino meartzenu," that golus is a crushing onesh. And yet, you know, in other generations, it was obvious that was the case. And when we live in a time of such chasdei Hashem, we don't always see galus as being the onesh that in reality it is. And sometimes we can be very guilty of that fate of the Eved Ivri of confusing, right, that which is an onesh for somehow that which seems to be an idyllic existence. No doubt, even in galus, to be able to witness such resurgence and to be able to thrive and to be able to take osek in the Torah Hashem as freely as we do, it's mechayiv intense shevach v'hodah. But at the same time, we must always be mindful of that essence of v'pnei chataeinu galino meretzeinu, to be able to realize that in a real sense, right, it doesn't diminish the fact that galus is considered to be an onesh. It gives us a taste that if this is the onesh of galus, imagine hashras hashina, Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hamikdash, what we could in Eretz Hashem anticipate. But one cannot go ahead and be guilty of that. And if we are, as the Maral Diskin writes, Rachman of Itzman, it becomes necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to revisit, like the Avera, in order for us to realize that, you know, this is an actual onesh. This is not considered to be something which is at all an idyllic existence. Perhaps the second mashal is the following. You know, the Gemara tells us in Makos and Daf Yud a fascinating chiddush that if a person kills the shogeg, he has to go into Golos, he goes to, right, the Ir Miklat. And the Gemara tells us, and what does he do in Golos? Pasuk says, V'chai. He has to live there. He has to live there, of course. So the Gemara Makos, Afira Meralef, has a fantastic drasha. V'chai means the following, the Talmud Shegola Maglin Rabo Imo. That if the Talmud, right, commits an act of Tzicho the shogeg, so he can schlep the Rebbe there into Golos with him. On what basis? A pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chai, I have to live there." The Talmud can scream that my lifeline is the relationship that I have with my Rebbe, and therefore, without that, that is not considered to be real chiyus. You know, the Ir Miklat was not the Nir Nidachas. The Ir Miklat were Or Levim. There were many Rabbanim and many yeshivas and many Roshi yeshiva, but yet that's not called V'chai. No, if a person doesn't have his Rebbe with him in such a case, that is not considered to be that quality of real chiyus, according to what the Torah tells us. If you look in the Rambam, Perek Zayin at Tochos Rotzeach, the Rambam quotes this halacha, Magvin Rabo Imo, he can insist that the Rebbe, the Rav, come and accompany him. The Rambam writes the following, V'chaye Bale Chachma V'Talmud below Talmud, Kamisa Heim Chashuvim. That's what the Rambam writes. That's what sums up the halacha. For a person who's Osek B'Torah, right, to lead a life without that connection, Kamisa Heim Chashuvim. That's what the Rambam writes. Fascinating summation. The Rambam writes of this particular halacha. So therefore, Talmud is sent into Golos, he can be Toveya, he can demand that the Rebbe has to go ahead, literally, close the yeshiva, and everybody has to go and move into the Irlik with him, because otherwise, right, there is no chiyus. That's what the Rambam writes, V'chaye Balei Chochma V'Maksheha, Blo Talmud, K'miseim Chashuv, is considered to be a death sentence, to be able to leave without the presence of the Rebbe. But an interesting addition. Let's assume, for example, that's true. No, great mysterious nefesh. Now the Rebbe goes and he moves into Golos, right, together with the Talmud who killed the Shogeg, right, in order to go ahead and to see to it that he thrives, even in Golos. Let's assume, for example, all of a sudden a Kohen Gadol dies. That's it. The Talmud has the right to leave Golos. And he decides, I'm going to stay. That the Talmud no longer can demand, right, that the Rebbe has to accompany him there. Kol zman that the Torah writes that you must be here, you must be in Golos, then, you know, the Talmud has, right, that time of the Chai, Mazvin Rabu Imo. Once already the Talmud exercises that own discretion, the Misas Kohen Gadol, and he can leave, no longer, right, can he in fact be Toveh. Rav Shechter once pointed out that perhaps that parallels the Gemara that no doubt Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us into Golos, and the Gemara tells us the Havtacha that Shechin Tova Goloso. The Shechin also accompanies us as the Rebbe in Golos as well. And that no doubt is true. Kol zman that a person's plight in Golos is something that, right, is an absolute, absolute reality. But always food for thought that when we are given an opportunity, right, to be able to leave certain elements of Golos, and we do not, in such a case, is our claim as strong, the demand, so to speak, that we insist on that element of Hashras HaShchina, as the Talmud insists, that the Rebbe accompanies as well. And these are important thoughts to be mindful of, after all, especially during the period of the Ben HaBasarim, that the Chastei Hashem, the more we thrive in Golos, maybe the more difficult it is in a certain sense to experience even the mitzvahs avelos of this time, even to experience the avelos of Tisha B'Av itself, but always to be mindful that U'tnei Chata'enu, the Golos is considered to be an onesh to the extent that we must be in Golos. And again, Golos is not only in a chutzpah, it's Golos even in Eretz Yisrael without Beis HaMikdash itself, but to the point that one can do one's share in order to be able to try to recapture, to preserve, as the Ramban writes, is the essence of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, that Hashras HaShchina, that no doubt is our imperative to do so. That's part of the lesson of the Eved Nirso, right? To be mindful of at once the Chastei Hashem, but also to realize that nonetheless, right, this is a reality of Golos, and Be'ezras Hashem to constantly be Metzapeh v'Yeshua Hashem.